So, Lauren, can you tell us more specifically about the performance piece that you did at the Petrie Museum?
Yeah, I think after the obsession, well, the continued obsession with these measures, I started to move into looking at other objects and thinking more deeply about the way that we think about the dead. And from that, I decided to make a piece called Modern Measures, Holding, Pouring, Stirring.
Okay.
And the live art piece is for 4 hours. And in this piece, the High Priestess creates an offering to ask for forgiveness for how the artifacts have been excavated and how we've treated the dead. It's a public art piece, so the participants were visiting the festival that day and were then able to engage with the High Priestess by offering their wishes or their needs. So every hour on the hour, she would burn frankincense and myrrh, and people would come and bring their tokens and offer things. There was also an opportunity to engage with many different vessels. So I designed a ceramic line of implements that are used in, could be used for herbal medicine. And they were inspired mainly by the Sudanese part of the collection. So a response to the Petrie Museum collection.
Okay, great.
There was many different objects that the audience could interact with. There was also semi-precious stones, which were inspired by the Book of the Dead.
Right.
Ancient Egyptian used semi-precious stones for carving amulets and also ground and ingested in certain remedies. And so people were able to gravitate towards those if that's what they chose to do and interact with the semi-precious stones. There was also other scented objects like Egyptian essences and herbs and spices and medicinal plants that were used at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm seeing some threads drawn here from what you did there to what's been happening here at Fresh Milk. But before we get to that, I also wanted to learn a bit more about, I know you've been involved with Goldsmith University in London, and that has a library that began as an artist-led slide library developed to enhance knowledge of the practice, impact, and achievement of women in visual culture. And one of the most important sections of that collection at the library at Goldsmith University is the Women of Color Index, and that has been developed in collaboration with the African Asian Visual Arts Archive. So this includes information on individual black women artists working in the UK, as well as key exhibitions that took place in the 80s and early 90s. So I know that you've become involved with the Women of Colour Index and another project called X Marks the Spot. For listeners who may not be aware, X Marks the Spot is about the late British photographer Jo Spence and her photographic work, which looked at political theories, including socialism and feminism and aspects of class, gender and health and how those things kind of came together. And the photography that she created at the end of her life showed her experiences on battling breast cancer and the treatment that she received. So could you tell us a little bit, Lauren, about your involvement with the Women of Colour Index at Goldsmith and how X Marks the Spot has become linked to the Women of Colour Index?
Yeah, with pleasure. I mean, it's something that I'm exceptionally excited about because it's one of those times where you think, I cannot believe this has not happened before. I cannot believe there's not ever been a body of work made by women of colour that will be archived and responded to by a group of black British artists, female artists, as a response to the call from Studio Voltaire, a gallery in Clapham in London, and they asked us to respond to the work of Jo Spence. Her archive is deposited at the Women's Art Library in the Special Collections.
Okay.
And that's how our relationship started with Althea Green in there, who seems to be a complete angel for us because she opened us, she welcomed us, and she really has made us understand the need for us. So X Marks the Spot works with the five artists. There's five of us: Gina, Zoe, Mystique, Ego, and myself. And we all kind of tend to revolve around certain themes.
Okay.
Not exclusively, but mainly Zoe Holloway looks at social activism in photography.
Mm-hmm.
Mystique Holloway looks at self-portraiture and image and identity. Ego is actually the archivist amongst us and looks at and has archived women's art and social activism since the 70s, focused on Land of Women's Project. Gina is our art historian. She's the one with all the facts and theories and also makes beautiful textile-driven work and has a real love for architecture. I mainly focus on health.
Okay.
And I look at photography as a way to act as a transitional tool for different elements of trauma within social commentary, really.
Okay. Interestingly enough, the reading room that we're sitting in was named after Colleen Lewis, who died from breast cancer in 2006, and this reading room has been set up in her name in order to keep her spirit alive. And it would be interesting to think about ways in which we could link with the Women of Color Indexed. Are you open to works of art by women of color outside of the United Kingdom?
Most definitely, yes. We're currently speaking with Rita Keegan, who was responsible for putting and curating the Women of Color Index. And she called it the Women of Color Index, despite how that may sound, because she wanted to be able to involve Indigenous women, Aboriginal women, women of colour from all over the world.
Okay.
And this is what's so exciting about it, because sitting here now, I'm seeing the links between Jo Spence and Colleen Lewis.
Right.
And I'm picturing the numerous amount of women that we come across in the archive that have died from breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
or died not feeling represented, not feeling cherished, not feeling celebrated as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And something what X Marks the Spot really wants to do is to use our methodology to connect all of the women organisations that are working to celebrate women, to show women, and to increase the amount of shows we have. You know, it's heart-wrenching when you see that women have had to die and donate their collections to trust in order to get a retrospective.
Right.
We're just not really prepared to do that. You know, we're really working now to ensure that as artists we're shown, and as a collective, as solo artists, and we are supported to enable our methodology to support others and for us to find ways to actually ensure we create spaces, beautiful spaces, that show our work in a way that's deserved.
Mm-hmm. So the challenge is to really create visibility around the index and awareness of the work that's being produced. It's something I speak to my students about often, because what you're talking about here is not just only your individual practice, but it's about really working as a creative activist to stimulate more in the society that you're living and working in. So
absolutely. I mean, Ego is the archivist amongst us, and her current master's thesis is about visibility in some ways, shape or form. And really that's what we're about, creating a space where we can be seen and seen together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so much more women out there. What I like about Wocky is that, yes, we already have information from very well-known artists, but actually we also have the opportunity here to fill in the gaps.
Right.
The women artists that have been instrumental in the career of artists that we know but are never mentioned. And we have started that already with bringing Rosie Martin through, who was a chief collaborator with Jo Spence, and Jo Spence has been celebrated in her death. We know Jo Spence.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, most of the images that we know taken of Jo Spence are taken by Rosie Martin in a theoretical, psychological philosophy for photography that they developed called phototherapy. And so we want to raise awareness around these subjects, and we want to bring women to the forefront that have been instrumental to be celebrated.
Right.
For their art to be
celebrated. Well, it would be great to think about ways in which we could have the Women of Colour Index come out to Fresh Milk and use the resource and to begin to develop more awareness about women out of the Caribbean. So kind of bringing the conversation more to where we are right now. For the past month, you've been here in Barbados at Fresh Milk on your first residency. This is a very different space from urban London. We're rurally located on a dairy farm. We have a quiet, intimate space for reflection and practice. So it's a very different working environment that you've come into. I know that you're in transition as an artist. Can you speak a little bit about the catalyst behind that transition?
Yes, I can. A little bit now, after a month here.
Right.
With some time for reflection and some developments. I really think that my transition is about distilling and filtering out the drivers. I mean, floral installation for me was a term that I searched for that would encompass all the different elements that I was using, and at that moment in time give me space for the things that I didn't know, and I didn't know where they were coming from.
Right.
But I felt strongly that I had to create work in this way. So I feel actually now that my time at Fresh Milk has been about distilling these elements, and for me that is about public art. It's about work that's done in public places with a participatory element. The work definitely responds to people in place. It's about what people bring to the subject, what people bring as a subject to the work. And that for me really is more the direction that I want to go in. What I've enjoyed so much here at Fresh Milk is reconnecting with photography. Photography has always been a visual aid and a tool of expression for me, mostly a tool of transition and a tool of transmutation for things that I can't write about or talk about. And I've been able to recreate that connection with photography here at Fresh Milk.
Yeah, well, that's come through your first blog. You had a poem, but that was hyperlinked with sounds and images, including night sounds, the creaking of a mahogany tree, looking at the ylang ylang tree, a green butterfly, bat birds. What kind of drew you to those sounds and movements initially? That was early in the first week of your being here.
I think it was the impact. The impact of how these everyday things that almost go unheard by the people that see them every day were battering me almost with beautiful scent, like walking past the ylang ylang tree and waiting until 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock when the sun's going down and the scent is just emitting throughout the whole place. The breeze just carries it through. Like, for me, was just... yeah, like a really impactful experience. The blackbirds are so loud, you know, just when they get together in a tree
right.
to start having an absolute riotous conversation, you're like, what? So loud.
Okay.
And I was alarmed, actually, by how loud nature is when there's no...
yeah.
When there's nothing else. And
right. A contrast to the urban space that you've been coming in from a bit.
Yeah, completely. I mean, a different type of quietness. Where I live is actually quite quiet, but it's a different type of silence. It's a different type of quietness here.
Okay.
And I was alarmed the first time I heard the mahogany tree creak, which is part of the architecture here.
Right.
I thought, what is that?
Right, yeah.
It's the tree creaking.
Yeah, yeah.
It creaks in the wind. I think there's a conversation to be had. You know, there's a lot of sounds that and images for me that was speaking loudly.
Right.
My first week was very much about words as well. And I wanted to find a way to connect the words with what I heard and what I saw. And if I could, I'd love to connect it with what I smelt.
Right, right. Okay. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about CLEANSE. This is a project that you have been doing in the UK and in other places. For its iteration at Fresh Milk, it involved your engagement with about six women who participated either individually or in a group interactive session looking at mental and creative blockages that build up through what you call busy, overworked lifestyles. And you speak about how our bodies don't discriminate against the kind of information that they retain, and that our bodies act as repositories that accumulate all of this stuff. So for the CLEANSE sessions, participants were invited to bring objects which they would leave with you. And I don't want to speak too much about the actual CLEANSE session, because you've done that with Lenora Lean, and we're going to run her text in conversation with you on the site. But I wanted to speak about the ways in which the CLEANSE sessions and the objects are informing this new body of photographic work that you're making here at the residency. And if you could speak a little bit about that emerging suite of photographic images.
Sure. I'm not sure if the palette just lives in the body. I think if it had a physical space, it would probably live outside of the body. Because I can't tell you, and I can't write to you what they make me feel, and I can also not share what people have shared with me about their objects.
Right.
So, for me, the pods are about letting go and not holding on to things. You know, when you see the baobab tree, it's has these beautiful long stems. Mm-hmm. The flower is almost offered to you on. And for me, that talks about letting go. It shows me that there are processes and cycles in nature that are about letting go. And for whatever reason, I feel that we've become hoarders of things, not only objects, but of emotions and of the stimuli that we pick up in everyday life. And I was really happy to be introduced to this particular baobab tree by Dr. Anthony Richards.
He's
a complete wealth of knowledge in the medicinal values of plants here in the Caribbean.
Yeah, so he's a chemist by training and teaches at UWE, but also has interest in and knowledge of, I think he mentioned, the spiritual nature of plants.
Yeah, and amazingly, an interest in the use, the symbolic use of plants in commemorative acts. So,
yeah. So when he came into the garden here, and I was about to pull a vine out of my pot, he said, "Don't do that. That's the gully root, and it has, you know, this and this and this value." So yeah, you've been meeting a couple of people since you've been here: Margaret Swain, Tara Innes Gibbs, and Dr. Richards. Can you talk a little bit about how your conversations with them have supported your research or your time here on the residency?
Yeah, I think I had my own CLEANSE session with the wonderful Margaret Swain. That was one of the most impactful meetings that I had, actually, because I was challenged with someone that has knowledge in art therapy, which I don't. And I was challenged as to my position with my own palette. How do I manage my own information? How do I gather information? How do I discriminate? I mean, I think I will always hold on to Margaret opposing to me recording the session. And I thought, oh, I need to record it because I'm going to forget all the things that you said, and this is amazing. And she said, well, you know, you'll hold on to the things that you need, and if you need other things later, you would have remembered them. I thought, yeah.
Right.
So that made the process of the CLEANSE sessions, in some respects, more introspective for me, because I was more aware of my position. And I think actually it's deepened my awareness of my position and maybe even why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay. And then we had a session with Tara Innes Gibbs, who is a historian at UWE. Her specialty is Caribbean medicine, and also she was on the team that compiled the dossier about the Bridgetown and its garrison for the UNESCO World Heritage Site inscription. What was there any value in engaging with her?
Massive opportunity for the potential cultural value in Barbados. I mean, I think Tara's presentation really enlivened and reawoke that element of me that is very much about living on the cusp of creativity and enterprise, and integrating the ability to create cultural value for the creative economy. And that's something that I've trained in, and it's something that I've naturally shared with other organisations in their coming about. And it's something that I really would love to share more in Barbados. I was really inspired by her approach and longing for cultural activity to be
more apparent in the city. Yeah.
Exactly, as it has historically.
Mm-hmm.
And actually some of the wealth that has been created from that creative economy to be reinvested and used to enliven and support the amazing creatives that I've been meeting here since I've been in Barbados. So that for me has really kind of started me thinking about other ways that I could be of use in Barbados and wanting to develop more of a long-term connection in ways of sharing things that I've experienced and things that I've seen as a way to try and support and develop.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, what's next?
Oh, well, I am really excited about this Deaf Salon because it means I get to interact with a lot of people that just work in really interesting ways. Like, for example, an arts lawyer who is focusing on creativity after death. So looking at copyright issues and intellectual property after death, which I think is hugely interesting. Looking into digital death, what happens to our data when we die. An art collector who specialises in contemporary commemorative objects, so hair sculptures and such other ways of remembering the dead, as well as a celebrant, someone who's become a celebrant later in life and why they do that. So I'm really excited about working with the British Museum's Eight Mummies exhibition and creating that engagement piece with the Petrie Museum.
Good.
I also have another piece with the Petrie Museum for the International Year of Light, which is 2015. I've got probably too much ideas as to how to work, but my current focus is with pigment. So I'm looking at pigment that comes from semi-precious stones, the life cycles amongst the life cycles between the two solstices. So I'm not sure if I'll do a long piece of work that goes from solstice to solstice or if it will be an installation that will happen. But I definitely think that time and the use of light to tell time is something that I'm interested in exploring at the moment, and also looking at above ground and below ground.
Okay.
So that's kind of as far as I've got for that, but it's a little time away now as it's in June.
Good. Well, very fertile, rich areas. Hopefully you'll come back to this ground. And for listeners who want to know more about Lauren's work, we're running an article, which is a conversation between Lauren and Lenore Aline. And we've got images on the website. So thank you very much, Lauren, and we hope to have you back.
Thank you for having me.